and welcome to Eucharist 101 with the Red Sea Apostolate. I'm your host, Evan Atkins, here today with Red Sea's Vice President of Education and Evangelization, Deacon Robin Waters. How are you today, sir?
I'm blessed, Evan. How are you?
Always blessed. Always blessed. Okay, today we are going to, the day has arrived. We've been promising this for several days now. The day has arrived where we will deep dive into answering some of the common objections to the Eucharist, as well as answering some of your questions on the topic. And we're going to do a Twitter deep dive, essentially. I mean, not read mean tweets, but essentially read mean tweets about the Eucharist. We're filling in for Jesus in this role here. If Jesus could read mean tweets.
I didn't see that on our agenda here, but okay.
It was the thought that went into it. Where is the biggest hotbed of heresy and misunderstanding in the entire world? And it's Twitter, I believe. So that's where we did our research. Throughout this 7-day mini-series, we have provided, we've provided some of the basic information about the sacrament. We've hopefully have given you a deeper taste of the meaning behind it, and now we're going to move into answering your questions to hopefully provide you with the resources to learn more and implement these teachings into the daily life of your family. So without further ado, Deacon, would you mind starting us off with a prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to share our knowledge, to continue to grow in our knowledge. We know that you have given us a faith that is so deep and rich that we'll never fully understand, but we hope to understand more and more each day, that we continue to grow in you as we grow in our relationship to you. And we ask that you help us, to give us the words to help others to learn your faith and to inspire them to go out on their own and to study as well. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Deacon, I will say, of all the people I've heard give prayers on a regular basis, you, even in our team meetings on Mondays and every day, you give some of the best prayers.
Well, thank you. That's a big compliment.
All right. We're going to jump right into it here. We've been going through this entire course, and you might be thinking to yourself, maybe you've heard us, and maybe you've heard the Spirit. Really, it's not our words, it's the Spirit's words. We prayed that at the beginning of this, that it's not our words, but the Spirit that speaks through us. Maybe you've heard the words of the Spirit, and you've come to understand that the Eucharist really is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and the sacraments really are the way to receive the grace of the Church, the grace of God. Maybe you have come to see that. But the real truth is that we live in a world where even many Catholics, who that is the only reason they should be Catholic, is if they believe in the sacraments. It's the only reason you should be Catholic, is if you believe that the Eucharist is the true presence of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, there's no reason to be Catholic.
Exactly. Go
Everything else falls apart.
Go where the music's better then.
Exactly. So in a world where that should be the case, it's really an unfortunate truth that Pew Research, just a couple of years ago, I believe it was in 2019, but don't quote me on that. Pew Research found that about 69% of Catholics don't actually believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ.
And these are the people that are showing up for church.
These are the people who are actually showing up to church.
Yeah.
Now, somewhere about...
not in my church. That's not like that in where I'm from.
Yeah.
That's what everybody thinks, right?
Okay, I've got the numbers here. Somewhere about 22% of Catholics know the Church is teaching about transubstantiation, about the true the bread and wine being transformed substantially.
22%?
Into 22% know of it and reject it.
Okay.
So of that 69% of Catholics,
okay,
you would think, okay, well, they're all heresies. No, they're not all heretics. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
The real sad part here is that about 3% don't know, or either think the Church teaches that the Eucharist is just a symbol, or don't know what the Church teaches at all. 3%.
That's not too bad.
Don't know that, but still believe what the Church teaches, even though they don't know it.
Okay.
47%, sorry, either think that the Church teaches it's a symbol and not the true presence, or don't know what the Church teaches and don't actually believe what the Church teaches about it being the true presence of Jesus Christ.
How sad is that?
47% of Catholics do not believe, knowingly do not believe in the true presence of Jesus Christ. 22% reject it. The others don't, but they have not been catechized. They don't know. They've never been catechized. And that is one of the massive failures of our church. And the reason we are having a Eucharistic revival.
Exactly.
Through this past year and for the next 2 years.
2 years.
And we'll talk more about that in episode 7.
And that's the state of our culture where many of us, we think that our opinion is gospel and that we know more than the church Jesus started.
And it's a real lesson in communication for the church.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of call them cultural Catholics out there who sort of grew up in the faith and never left, but were never really in it because they never learned it.
Right.
Maybe they went to some religion classes and screwed around during, you know, while sister was talking or while the priest was, you know, giving some lessons. But if you don't actually research it yourself, if you don't give some time into the relationship, into the love you have for Jesus and his church,
right,
you're not going to find some of these
things. And that's the thing, because I think a lot of those people were told, they just chose not to accept it. Or maybe they weren't paying attention at that time.
Yes.
And then they got it to a point in their life where maybe they're involved in things that are blatantly sinful. So all of a sudden it makes me look bad if I believe what the church teaches, because then I have to admit that I'm wrong.
Yes, yes. Just think about our culture around hookups and living together before marriage. That's just one issue. But okay, 69% don't believe. But we're going to answer some questions about this that hopefully pertain to what those 69% don't believe.
Okay.
Question one, I found this. I've heard this so many times from Protestants who I've been friends with. Protestants I've come across in the wild, call it the wild, and even some Catholics.
Yeah.
The wild meaning, I've gone to
in the world.
Bible and in the world, yes.
Yeah.
I've gone to basketball with, the homeschool groups and things. Did Jesus die once for all, or is he sacrificed each time the Eucharist is consecrated? We talked about this a little bit before, but Deacon, do you mind summarizing that?
Well, that's pointed out in the Catechism in paragraph 1364. And I think, maybe everybody, if you're listening to this, I'm going to beg you, go to your local Catholic gift store or go online if you don't have a local Catholic gift store and buy a catechism.
Mm-hmm.
Because, that's one of the most blessed things about our church is that what we believe is written down.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making it up. We're not, even the Pope can't, change it. If you want to know what the church believes on any topic, it's written down. And so there's no misunderstanding that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because in paragraph 1364, we're told that the sacrifice Christ offered once for all on the cross remains ever present as often as this sacrifice, once for all. That's the key point that we're talking about right now. Once for all. That's what the church teaches.
Yes.
So I think most of the time whenever we're accused of sacrificing him over and over, it's probably non-Catholics, but with the research you've seen of Catholics who don't believe of the true presence of Jesus in the
this
Eucharist.
This is one of the reasons they cite.
They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They've never looked at what the church actually teaches.
Yes.
So what we're actually doing during the consecration is not a re-sacrificing of Jesus. But, Jesus as God is outside of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that once-for-all sacrifice is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus instituted that at the Last Supper when he instituted the Eucharist. And I was mentioning to you when we were off the air that as a deacon, it's very humbling to be there at the altar and thinking about an altar is laid out for a person to lay on for a sacrifice.
Yes.
And there's times when, and I try to keep my focus because if I don't, I'm going to, it's my turn to do something during the Mass and I'm not focusing because it's easy to imagine Jesus laying on that altar.
Yes.
And when Father holds up the body and the blood, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." And I'm this far away,
yeah,
2-3 feet away, I can't take my eyes off of Jesus because it's Jesus. It's such Jesus there. And so, but we can also do that from the pews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus, when Father holds up Jesus and says those words.
So many people bow their heads at that time.
Yeah.
I always tell people, no,
but,
look.
You know, that's reverence. I don't have mm-hmm. a problem. But man, it's just like, he's here. And I'm almost looking for the Holy Spirit to come down or yes. seeing if I can get a glimpse. Mm-hmm. You know, like at the Transfiguration, I would love to have a glimpse.
Yes.
Just give me a split second.
Show me when you come into the sacrament. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Jesus did die once for all. He's outside of time. His sacrifice applies to us today, even though we weren't alive when he walked the earth. It also applies to people, the saints who went before, the people who were before Jesus. His sacrifice applies out of time.
Yes.
And so when we offer the sacrifice of the Mass, we are not sacrificing him again. We are simply commemorating
yep.
his passion and death and resurrection.
And why are we doing it? Because he said to do it.
Yes. But it is his body, blood, soul, and divinity. It is not a sign. It right. is not a, it's not like a birthday celebration or a funeral celebration of somebody who died. It is, Jesus is actually present there.
It's a participation in that once for all sacrifice.
Yes. Which leads us on to question two. Which we are, again, we already touched on this a little bit, but this is a little bit different. Why does the Catechism call the Eucharist the source and the summit of the Christian life? Couldn't I be Christian without believing in the Eucharist?
You can be Christian without believing in the Eucharist. You can't be, well, you can be Catholic, we've already learned, without believing in the
Culturally
Eucharist.
Culturally Catholic.
Because technically, to become a Christian, you just have to be baptized in the name of the Father and yes. of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then you're a Christian.
Yes.
But if you want to be fully in communion with Jesus and his church, that's when you really need to do a deep dive into, okay, the church teaches that it's truly Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. As you mentioned, let me pray about that and let's research that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way that you can go through all the things that the church teaches and not see that.
Yes. Yeah. It's very evident. And honestly, doing the research for this has been very eye-opening to me. Mm-hmm. And I've been a lifelong Catholic, and I do believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. But there's so much depth to this faith.
It's so deep.
You can never find it all. Many have tried.
Well, and that's how, you know, we're all going to have suffering in life. You know, either you're suffering now, you have suffered, or you're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And you need Jesus. And this is a way to unite yourself to the sufferings of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Mass is a sacrifice. And did you know this? This is something I learned recently. So if the priest is celebrating Mass and it comes time for, you know, the priest always receives the Eucharist first, right? Mm-hmm. He'll receive the body, and then he receives the blood. If he does not receive both species, mm-hmm. they call it, the Mass is not valid.
I didn't know that.
Because he is in persona Christi,
mm-hmm.
and he has to participate in the body and the blood.
Mm. Okay, the sacrifice, the real sacrifice. Okay.
And that's something you may never see happen. I've seen it happen once. That's why I know. Because I questioned it.
There's a little reading from St. Paul here, which is pertinent. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, he says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we have died with Christ in the sacrament of the Eucharist, we believe that we shall also live with him." So that is, as Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life within you. If you don't, you don't. It's very simple. This is why we are Eucharistic people.
And, you know, and that's really why it's so important that we're doing this series, because people can honestly not know.
Yes.
And so we're hoping to inform, but there's also a little bit of a risk when you know.
Yes.
Because then you have to take
action. Seriously. Yes.
You have to take action.
Moving along, we're coming up on time here. So here's an interesting one I found. And Deacon, don't laugh at this, or maybe laugh at this, whichever you want to do.
Okay.
Is eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus cannibalism?
I would say no. You need more than that? yeah, of course. That's ridiculous. I mean, Jesus takes, through the miracle of transubstantiation, Jesus transforms the wine and the bread into his body and blood, but we know that it still has the appearance of bread and wine. And so, no, we're not actually re-sacrificing or eating his, eating him as a cannibal would. I think
here's something interesting. I'll share this, and we'll put this on the website. I actually forget. I didn't write down my source. I apologize. I'll find this in a second. But
yes,
I'll
love that.
I'll write it down. It says I'll find it for you. I'm looking on the computer. 1 second. But it says cannibals eat what is dead or what is going to die for nourishment of their bodies. In the Eucharist, Jesus is present as the living sacrifice and is not reduced or diminished as more believers receive the Eucharist. As more people receive Jesus in the Eucharist, as more people convert to Catholicism,
right.
Jesus is not reduced. There's not a limit.
Right.
It's like him multiplying the loaves and the fish.
Yep.
He's not reduced because I receive him in the Eucharist.
Right.
So he's not dying. He's not perishing. He's not diminishing, which is what cannibalism is. So,
right. And I've read this quote before, and I really like it because it says, cannibals eat what is dead.
Yes.
Jesus is not dead.
He's not dead.
He's fully alive.
We receive the sacrament for the nourishment of our souls, not the nourishment of our bodies. Though the accidental qualities of the physical signs do provide some physical nourishment. So again, the accidental properties are still there.
Yep.
The gluten and the alcohol and the bread and the wine.
Yep.
But we do not receive this for our bodily nutrition. We receive it for our souls.
That's right.
And that is the main difference.
It's so for that spiritual journey throughout life.
Food and for that spiritual journey. I'll try to find the source for that before we go. But the last question here before we go, actually we answered that already, but we'll just go through this one more time. How many times a day can I receive the Eucharist?
Yeah, up to twice a day. And basically, what that's saying is that it's trying to avoid, there actually was a, I guess you wouldn't call it a heresy, but it was a problem at times where people were overly scrupulous and they wanted to receive Jesus as many times as possible. So they would actually go from Mass to Mass to Mass receiving him. And so it's really kind of degrading to the Lord when you think you need more Jesus, more grace, when he just gave you his body, blood, soul, and divinity the first time you received him.
Mm-hmm. And now I thought that might have been an older quote from the previous question. I thought that might have been a quote from one of the church fathers, but I don't believe it is.
Mm.
It is from thecatholicthing.org, and it is Michael Foley,
oh, yeah,
who wrote the article. So just,
he was our benefit speaker for our Reggie Catholic Radio benefit dinner a couple years ago.
Okay.
He's a professor at Baylor.
Certainly go and look him up and look up. He has a lot of things on the Eucharist that you can, if you have questions, you can go and look there. With that, we're going to wrap this up. So what are some of the ways we can implement this into our daily lives? And I always ask that as a standard boilerplate question, but what are some of the ways that we can take our questions, Deacon, and not just leave them as questions?
Yeah.
What are some of the ways we can take our questions and realize that that's a religious experience, that God is calling us deeper, and how can we take that and turn that into something substantive, something progressive for us in our faith?
Right. Well, the way that we can know what Jesus wants us to do, the life he wants us to live, the things he wants us to believe, is to spend time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time with him daily. And we've talked about Mass. We've talked about prayer. We haven't talked much about adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Even if you don't have a typical adoration, if you just go into the church where, with a tabernacle, Jesus is fully present in there. And take these scriptures that we've discussed, write those numbers, write those letters down, and go into the church and read them, truly pray over them, And then do the thing that the devil hates the worst. Sit with Jesus in silence.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, if you do that, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to feel that he's being going, hey, you've got things to do. Hey, shouldn't you be going to work?
Yeah, tug on your shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing. He does not want you to be silent with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you might actually hear what he wants you to hear concerning these scriptures. And then, strengthened by the Lord, you may have the courage to do it. You may have the courage to follow the Lord and do as he commands. Mm-hmm. So that would be my recommendation.
And something I would say, just to close this out, as somebody who really went through a crisis of my faith early on, and someone who's fairly logically oriented, I'm a fairly logical person, one of the things that I enjoy most about the church, there's, you know, obviously the truth, beauty, and goodness are the I'm totally blanking on the term for it, but truth, beauty, and goodness are attributes of God that cannot be found in nature without God. So the church is true, the church is beautiful, and the church is good. And those are all individual reasons that people come to find the faith. And one of the things about it being true is that if you have questions about the Eucharist, if you have questions about the faith, if you have questions about anything relating to God, the truth of God is that there's always an answer. You just have to look. And there are so many resources to look. This is one, I hope, for you. This is a resource for you to find some of that truth and some of that beauty and some of that goodness. But there are thousands of years of resources, of church fathers' writings, of saints' writings, of sermons, of podcasts, even in the modern day. There's a lot of modern theologians who are speaking truth in ways that we can hear it in our modern day. Go and look for those answers. Don't just have a question and say, oh, I'll never find the answer. Say, I have a question, so it's wrong. Go find the answer. There is an answer, I promise you.
And include the Lord in that discernment.
Absolutely. All right. We'll end this day here. Day 5, we'll end it. So thank you for listening to this installment of Eucharistic 101. If you found us through one of our marketing campaigns, then check back in your inbox tomorrow morning, where you'll find the next episode in your inbox, in your email. If you're listening on podcast or YouTube, then simply check back here tomorrow for episode 6, or subscribe and hit notifications so that you are notified on your phone when we drop the next episode. Tomorrow in episode 6, we will discuss the approved Eucharistic miracles throughout the history of the church. Now, let me tell you, there are a lot, and there are a lot that are a lot more recent than you might guess.
Hmm.
And there are a lot that are very, very interesting and very beautiful and very deep. And we'll even hear from our very own Deacon Robin Waters across the table from me about something he experienced himself.
Absolutely.
So be sure to check back in tomorrow to hear that. At the Red Sea Apostolate, we are committed to helping families integrate Catholic teaching into the context of their daily lives. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to tune in tomorrow, but also feel free to check out our other Red Sea Productions podcasts, courses, and events. Or listen live to Catholic Radio 24/7 on KEDC 88.5 FM in the Brazos Valley, KYAR 98.3 FM in Central Texas, or if you don't live in Texas, you can listen anywhere in the world on our Red Sea mobile app. Of course, you can find all of this and more at redsearadio.org. That's red, the letter C, radio.org. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm your host, Evan Atkins, here with Vice President of Education and Evangelization, Deacon Robin Waters. Please know that you are in our prayers, and please keep us in yours. Please pray for our apostolate and our ministry. Deacon, do you mind closing us with a blessing?
Absolutely. O God, by whose word all things are made holy, pour out your blessings upon all those listening to the Eucharist 101, and grant that as they live their lives in accordance with your will and law, and with the spirit of thanksgiving, that they may experience by your power, health in body and mind, and protection in soul, as they invoke your most holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's a wrap for episode number 5 from all of us here at the Red Sea Apostolate. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. God bless.
God bless.